Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Today we dive into the extraordinary journey of a true television icon, Deidre Hall. For decades, she's captivated audiences not just with her talent, but with her remarkable ability to evolve and thrive in an ever-changing industry. She's here to share the secrets behind her enduring success, her passion for staying active both on and off the screen, and the timeless charm that continues to resonate with fans around the world. Whether you're a longtime admirer or new to her story, you do not want to miss this compelling conversation with the one and only Deidre Hall. Stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a true television icon, celebrated for her unforgettable role as Dr. Marlena Evans on Days of Our Lives, a character she has brought to life in over 5,000 episodes since 1976. She also made history by becoming the first performer to star in both daytime and primetime series, captivating audiences as Jesse Witherspoon in NBC's Our House. Her impressive list of honors include multiple People Choice Awards, Best Actress from Soap Opera Digest, and from the esteemed American Woman in Radio and Television Award. In addition, she starred in and executive produced Never Say Never, The Deidre Hall Story, a powerful narrative of her personal journey with surrogacy. With her memorable appearances on shows like The Tonight Show and Ellen and even a People magazine cover feature, she continues to inspire and engage audiences across the world. Welcome to the show, Deidre Hall.
David, I'm going to have you do all my introductions.
The goal was bringing it down small enough. I'm like, oh, how do I condense this? But yeah, I'll tell you, thanks for joining us. With over 5,000 episodes of Days of Our Lives, that's a lot of days of your life with so many shows that have come and gone and characters growing out of their role. What's the secret to keeping things interesting for so many decades?
Wow. You know what? We've got really smart people that put that answer together for you. We're going into our 60th year, which is unheard of. And yet we still have different titles, different topics, different kind of relationships on the show. And it's always topical. Ken Corday, our showrunner, is fond of saying that we always have a young love story going on. So we're bringing up people all the time. And then we have our show standard people, our staples, that are our long-running couples and actors.
Yeah, you know, I'm really fascinated by people who, rather than retire, choose to inspire. And that's you. Share with us, what's the secret to having such a vibrant lifespan during your golden years?
Wow. I'm afraid you think I have a secret. Wow. What sustains me in my life is my amazing women friendships. And I could talk about diet and exercise and getting enough sleep and exfoliating and doing all that. But I think it's that sense of being seen and heard and understood that is so empowering for women, that comes from other women who are sharing their experience and sharing their information and, when invited, their advice.
Right. You know, I did read that you attribute living a vibrant and healthy life to having high quality friendships. And there's interesting, there's a recent study after I read that about you, like, wow, there's a study because, you know, you're in the algorithms, popped up from Michigan State, found that people with strong friendships live longer, 17% less likely to suffer from depression, 20% less likely to experience a heart attack or stroke. So I think you're onto something here. I think you are the reason they went and did this study.
I think those are very low numbers. 17%, that's too low.
Yeah, well, that's less likely to stroke. But, you know, I guess because if you're having a bunch of friends and you're eating McDonald's, maybe that takes a play. I think friends should eat healthy together, maybe exercise instead of sitting on the couch. So I bet there's other things in that study. But it was interesting to show that friendships do, I think, as you mentioned. But you also mentioned, you know, you look amazing. Do you attribute to genetics to some of this? Or do you follow a specific diet or exercise regimen?
Genetics, I think, are a masterful response to that. I mean, if you got it coming in, both my parents were lovely, beautiful people, and they were healthy, and they were active and well-informed and worked up until the very late years of their lives. And I think that's an example that one can live by, you know, because I've said to my kids from time to time when I think I am not quite measuring up, I will say, look, we learned to parent from somebody. We learned to parent from our parents. And I'm not always going to get it right. And I'll take some wiggle room on that because, you know, loving you isn't going to get the whole job done. A lot of that is going to be, what did my folks do? What did I see demonstrated for me? And that's what we all fall back on.
Yeah, I remember reading your book. It was Deidre Hall's Kitchen Close-Up, probably about 15 or so years ago, long before the rise of keto, paleo, carnivore, and this intermittent fasting. Have any of these popular diet fads influenced your current eating habits?
You know what? I have quit eating meat. I feel better, and I think the animals do as well. So I don't know. I just woke up one day and said, what am I doing? Somehow this doesn't work for any of us. So I'm a vegetarian, and my numbers from my doctor is the same. So I'm thinking that I'm just happier. I'm happier living this way.
Yeah. And you fall into the Blue Zone's way of thinking. The healthiest people around the world that live to 100 and over that are healthier, they're more plant-based eaters. So science is out there as well. And of course, you're a living example. Let me ask you this. You've had such an extraordinary career bringing complex characters to life in stories. You've talked about love and loss and redemption. How has your work as an actress influenced your own perspective on human connection and navigating through life's challenges?
Playing Marlena for so many years gives me a credit that I didn't come by naturally. And when I am out in the marketplace, I find that people are more likely to ask for advice, ask for help, ask for thoughts that I think have to originate with Marlena. Because I've spent 40 years asking you to trust her. And so one thing I've learned to do is if I don't feel like being gracious and generous with a fan coming up to me, I need to stay home.
Right.
Because it belies what we ask them to do and the trust they have put in us and believing us and following us. So I've learned that, just a sense of patience and empathy, or stay home.
Yeah, that's good advice. And so many people like the action when they say, and that's a wrap, that's it. They seclude. And I think that's a good attitude. And I've treated a lot of celebrities, and the ones that really resonate are those that just shake a fan's hand. And like you said, if you don't feel like it, stay away. Let me ask you this. I've been practicing for 36 years, and it's amazing to see a grandmother that I once treated as a child, and now I'm seeing her own children. And it must be surreal for you to have fans who watch the show with their mothers in the 70s, now watching it with their teenage grandkids. How does that feel?
We do an event called the Day of Days every year, and we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fans who come from literally all over the globe to spend the day with us. And what we see more often than not is that multi-generational grouping. We see grandma and mama and the daughter, because they pass that viewership on. They pass on that passion for the show. And we hear all the time, I got hooked when my grandmother babysat for me and she watched your show. So I began watching your show. And I think it's how you develop a true and loyal following. And for those people, for us to stay consistent in our character consistency, you know, Marlena's not going to lie to you. She's not going to betray you. She's going to be exactly who she was 20 years ago. When you turn on that set, you know exactly who you're getting. And I think that's something that people are hungry for.
Yeah, so true. I'm curious, looking back at Days of Our Lives, is there anything particular that stands out as being the most memorable? You got a few decades. Anything jump out and go, wow, that one makes me smile?
Gal, you know, I'm going to say that, first of all, it started with the women friendships, because Susan Hayes is probably my best friend, and I adore her beyond words. And she is so valuable to me in terms of life experience and can't even go on. But that friendship I got from the show. And I remember sort of the very first time I had a real experience of her was she was getting married, as we all do often on the show. And it was a heralded wedding, and there was enormous publicity there and a great crowd of people. And I think I recall that they even had the parking lot open to people that wanted to come and watch on large monitors. That's what a big deal it was. And they were getting their wedding filmed. And at one point, Susan turned to us who were sitting in the church and said, I know it's taking a long time. Thank you for your patience. This is very important to us. And I thought, I want to be her when I grow up. She is carrying so much weight right now, and it's an enormous job she's having to do. And yet she's thanking us for tagging along with her. She's always been my hero. I love how she works. I love how she runs her life. I love how she ran her marriage. She's my hero. And that's one of the great things that came out of doing Days of Our Lives. One other thing was getting to play with my twin sister, who came in to play Samantha Evans many, many years ago. And she was a special education teacher. And Ann Marcus, who was then head writing our show, interviewed a number of actors and said, what would you like to do? And I said, oh, I don't know, maybe work with my twin sister. He said, wait a minute, what? You've got a twin? And they literally flew her out within a week, put her on camera, just said, this is it, bought her out of her contract. She paid off her student loan and had this amazing experience of being on Days of Our Lives for many, many years. So it was just a thrill that came out of being an actor on Days.
And it was a double thrill.
Yeah. She played several characters on the show. She played Hattie Adams after some fool writer killed her off as Samantha. And then the next writer said, wait a minute, what do you do? This is gold. Don't be crazy. And they brought her in as a hilarious curmudgeon. And of course, she is wildly funny and was brilliant in that part.
That's great. Let's talk about the entertainment industry. It's changed so much over the years. How do you adapt to these changes? And what advice would you give someone maybe listening that wants to consider acting?
Oh, you know, it's so dangerous to give advice, and I tend not to. And we all know show business is impossible and unpredictable. And, you know, have a backup plan. Finish school. Get a degree. Get a career doing something else. Get an avocation. Get something that can sustain you when acting won't. Because we all know that it's rare that it does sustain anybody.
Yeah.
So in other words, keep your day job.
Keep your don't put all your eggs in one basket.
There
you
go. Well said. Well said.
When I see how long you've played this character, it makes me wonder, how do you maintain passion and creativity in portraying the complexities of that role? And what keeps you inspired? You don't suffer from the same old mentality. You just dive in. How's that work?
It's on the page. Once again, a tip of the hat to the writers. They create new and exciting storylines every week. And we'll hear gossip about, oh, you're doing, next you're going to be, you know, possessed by the devil, or next you're going to have a twin sister, or next you're going to be. And it's just picking up the script is an adventure. It's a great surprise. It's a treat. And it just says, guess what you get to do next? You get to do these kind of scenes next. I worked with Greg Rickard, who plays Leo on the show. And he has become a close personal friend. I'm wild for him. And that's part of the gift that I get from Days is that I get to come back to work and see the people that I adore.
Yeah, so true. During, you know, your decades, is there any particular challenge you faced in your life or career that contributed to your personal growth?
I went through a bout with infertility many years ago, and that was trying. I was doing Our House at the time. I was actually doing both shows. And when you're doing in vitro IVF, it's women that have been through this can only testify to it. It's a brutal process and it's a heartbreaking process. And injecting yourself, being full of hormones, going in for checkups every other day to see how far you are along in the process. That was a challenge. That was a challenge. The rest of it, I get to do what I love. I love coming to work. I love seeing my friends and catching up with them. And when we have these long breaks, I miss hanging around with them. Wow, challenges. No, I'm trying to keep my excitement to myself, perhaps, I guess.
Yeah. That keeps it in check. I read that several years ago, you traveled to Brazil on a mission for Operation Smile, and you described that experience as life-changing for you. Share how this endeavor positively impacted you.
I took my son, who I think then must have been, I don't know, 13. I can't recall now. And yes, we went to Brazil for Operation Smile, and I knew the process, but seeing it from the inside, spending the first few days interviewing families who had brought their child that had a cleft lip or palate, with us being their only hope to help that child. And, you know, as you can well imagine, they are ridiculed, they are shunned, they live sort of a half-life. And interviewing these families and photographing the children, and that was the first part of the process where they decide, okay, here are the people that we can help immediately. And it's hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that the doctors are operating. And they're geniuses, and they're just so gifted and talented and generous. But, oof, it's a good dude. Watching my son take in this process of seeing people that would never have a chance to have this surgery were it not for these amazing doctors and this amazing process, and talking to them and playing with them and humoring them and being with them as they went into anesthesia and being there when they came out of anesthesia was just, I got to meet the man he was going to be. And it was so impressive and such a thrilling thing to do with him.
Wow, it's such a metamorphosis and touching. You've done so much in life. Like I said, your bio had to shorten it. Is there anything on your bucket list that you still want to accomplish? Anything on the to-do list of Deidre?
Oh my goodness. I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed. Wouldn't mind a grandchild, but you know, when they have the time, plenty of time. So no, just to be lucky enough to keep on doing what I'm doing with the people that I love.
Wow. That's great. What about the most significant lesson out there? Is there anything you've learned about balance? You seem such a balanced person between personal authenticity and maybe the characters you portray. How do you balance everything?
Well, I don't even know how to answer that. Once again, day by day, I guess. When I got the role of Marlena, I had never seen a therapist. I'd never seen a therapist work. And I just thought, well, I don't know exactly what they do with these therapists, but if I saw one, I know what I would like them to do. And so that's who I created in playing Marlena, the person that I wanted to have seen if I were to see somebody.
Yeah. So interesting. I was thinking back to, I remember days of our lives when I was younger, and there was three channels. You had three channels to choose from, and now there's thousands. So to see that show not get lost and swallowed up is amazing. It's a testament because, oh my God, you got Hulu, you got Netflix, you got YouTube, you got so many thousands of options. But back in the day, I remember 70s, three. Three network channels.
How old are you?
I'm the big 6-0.
You and I are the ones that remember that.
I'm the big 6-0.
Oh.
Yeah, it's funny. I had Harvey Diamond do my forward for my book, and he said he wrote his book and he flew and he did the Merv Griffin show. 25 million copies sold, and he flew back and he wrote his book because there was three channels then. It's like you could sell that many books on one show. Now you got to do all these podcasts and shows. So much it's diluted, but that was back in the day. But, you know, it's a testament that it didn't get lost. Because same with FM radio. I mean, people are ignoring FM now because of this Sirius and online stuff. So it lasted, which is a testament.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it really did.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing and it's funny. And what's really even funnier is we got 1,000 choices and we can't find anything to watch. We always enjoyed TV back then. It was like flip and we just were infatuated. And now it's like my thumb. I've got like one thumb that's bigger than the other because I keep changing and I'm like, I spent an hour looking for something. Forget it.
Oh my gosh. What do you videotape? What do you record?
No, when I'm trying to unwind and watch something, like,
what do you record that you want to make sure you don't miss? Are you a news junkie or are you a sports junkie?
I'm kind of a mixture. I like a lot of the history, the looking at that, and then, you know, a mixture. I like stupid stuff that gets my mind to Seinfeld. I watch that just because it's mindless, just to get me to relax at the end of the day because I'm so intense during my day. It's like, what can I find that's mindless, like the show Cheers, something like that. I found myself just something where I don't have to think because I think all day. It's time to rest my brain. So I kind of want something that's more of entertaining where I don't have to think. All right, murder mystery, those are fine, but makes me have to think as well.
Your sitcoms, good for you.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, the things, friendship, but it's also laughter. I think laughter is important. You just being with friends and being so serious, not so good. I think that you surround yourself with friends that have a sense of humor. And I think that's so important to be able to smile and laugh at life and each other with each other. Do you agree?
Yeah. Can't take it too seriously. And back to our women friendships. You know, I'm the time when I get in a sticky place. I just have to get to Susan. I got to talk to Susan. I've got to talk to Catherine. I've got to Caroline. I've got a number of spectacular women friends who I just know, okay, if I get in front of them, they'll sort this out for me. And invariably they do.
So true. My mom's in her 80s and she likes to have friends that are in their 30s and 40s. She keeps her youthful. So she gravitates towards, she's like, oh, mom, you're hanging out with the young generation, younger than me. She said, that just keeps me youthful. They keep me on my toes. And I think that was kind of cute that she has that youthfulness to her and she's bouncy and she travels. So I think friends are good. And, you know, different diversities, whether you get younger or older or, you know, inspiring as well. So I think that's great. Let me ask you this. You've touched the lives of so many generations and fans. I mean, there's multiple people listening that are grandparents and granddads and kids. What do you hope your legacy will be and how do you want to be remembered by your audience?
I think our job is to entertain and when we get a chance to inform, but mostly to comfort. You know, we are there on Thanksgiving when your family couldn't be there. We're there on Christmas morning with the Horton, you know, ornaments and putting up the tree. And we have become your family. And so many people live miles apart from their loved ones these days and can't be together. And so I love that our show has taken on the responsibility of being your family. And we will always have, as Ken says, multi-generational storylines. So there's something for everybody. We will always have a love story. We will always have familiar faces on camera because that's your family and that's who you want to see. And that's, I hope my legacy is a legacy of Days, which is, you know, we're your family.
Wow. Well said. In the minute we have left, anything else you'd like to share with the listeners we didn't cover today?
If you've fallen away to our audience, if you've fallen away, we're still here. And I know when we went to streaming, it became challenging for some people, but we haven't changed. We're the same people doing the same thing day in and day out, and we're here for you. And if you strayed, just come on back, find a way to do that.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you for being with us today, and I wish you many more wonderful and healthy days and years of your life. For more information and to stay up to date with all the latest happenings, visit DeidreHall.com, and you can follow her on Instagram at Deidre Hall Official and on Facebook at Deidre Hall Fan Page. You can follow me on Facebook and X at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard something today that somebody you know would enjoy hearing, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com and radiomd.com, and peruse our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. As I always say, sharing is caring. Don't keep this info to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.